Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman. All in the same boat, fishing in the same hole, wondering where the same time goes, and money too,
trying to fix the same broke heart, wishing on the same stars. Scott Goodman here with Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3, voice of the free, Vox Populi, voice of the people. Catch us here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. instead of 9 due to daylight savings until spring. Well, listeners, every Monday morning and all through the week, a million children wake up in the morning to go to school in Arizona and get an education and prepare for their lives as adults. Each year, the state and counties and each school district struggle to put together a budget to meet the needs of the schools and to give the students the resources they need to succeed in their pursuit of a quality education. Can we meet those needs? How does this impact our economy? Do we have the resources to pay for the budgets needed? Our guest today is Nick Mansour, and we will be discussing this together on Common Ground exclusively on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our staff, what makes this show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground, featured exclusively on KNTR Talk Radio.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Common Ground. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687. I'm here today with our co-creator, Red Bull Ronnie, and Paul Lavoie, our operations manager and slash producer, is in the house today.
He's our engineer today.
Engineer, he's all the things. He's the one-man band guy. All right, I do want to do a quick shout-out to our sponsors, Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia, Neat Pool and Supply, Trailside Firearms and Trading Company, and Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen to us on 106.7 and Lake Havasu, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, Mojave Valley, Needles, and 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman. All right.
Don't forget, though, you can get it streaming live on KNTR itself. We can
yes,
listen to it live
you can,
on your computer.
And you can listen to us at any time.
Correct. We archive shows.
KNTRtalk.com.
Yes,
correct.
KNTRtalk.
Thanks for correcting me.
You're welcome.
And welcome to the show, Nick. We got a lot to talk about here with education in just a short time, starting with the budgeting.
Yes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the issues that we're going to be discussing maybe today and your passion.
Yes. Okay. Good morning, Scott and Melissa. Thank you for having me on the show.
You bet.
I grew up in our state. I grew up in Tucson. I've been an entrepreneur for the last 27 years. I most recently was running a school called Arizona College of Nursing. So I'm very passionate about education at Arizona College. We help people become nurses. And we've grown the school a lot over the last several years. I am here to talk about education and specifically education funding and some things that we can do as a state to increase our funding without raising taxes.
So that's the tough part.
That is
the tough part, but there are some things we can do.
You know, we had Karen Taylor Robeson on the show a few
yeah.
months back, and she was talking about how Arizona had set aside land
yes.
to sell it
yes.
As a future trust for the schools, which I did not know about until we did
yes.
that show. I thought that was a fantastic idea.
Yes. That's what we're going to talk about.
And how much is that is yep. actually like so I looked it up to see like how much money, what money is coming from where. How it says that 48% is state funding.
Yes. So we do have this land, and that's what I want to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
But right, our state budget, about $8 billion goes to our education every year. And
property tax was 33.40%.
Okay. Yep.
Federal funding was only 19%.
Yep.
We get the short end of the stick on that one.
as far as funding is.
You mean like
from the
compared
government.
To other states, or is everybody at that same?
No, I think it's based on population, and it's then the schools once they and the districts once they and the states once they have the money, they can make a determination of how it's to be allocated. So, for example, California is going to get a huge amount of money because of size, New York, et cetera. They get the budget, and then once they get the budget, they can determine how it's to be allocated by student, by infrastructure, by teachers. They can determine how to use the money. So let's talk about the state land.
Yeah, so as Melissa was saying, we own a large amount of land in our state that's dedicated towards education. We actually got this from the federal government when we became a state. And we've sold some of it over the years. We still own about 9 million acres, something thereabouts.
And so I have a question about that. If you sold land in Mojave County, is that money go to the entire state of Arizona, or does it just go to Mojave County?
Yeah, so good question. So it actually goes into what is called the Permanent Land Endowment Trust Fund. That's a fund. I'm going to call it the Endowment Fund because that's easier than saying the Permanent Land Endowment Trust Fund. The money goes into that fund, and the distributions from that fund go to the state's general budget, which then gets
statewide
dispersed
once again
as the legislature decides. Yes,
okay.
Yes. So but the other side of it is true too. If they sell land in Pima County, that goes into the same pot, and all the state benefits from that.
So what I do know is also it's incredibly difficult to get the land to be ceded to the states. For example, it's not easy where you can just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, we need to sell this, have them sell 20,000 acres or 50 acres, whatever the amount is. The process is pretty cumbersome.
There is a process through the land department, the state land department. And
it's not the easiest thing to navigate is what I'm saying.
I've never done it, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear that.
I was told it was pretty bad.
But the main thing is that the money, once it's sold, the money goes into this endowment fund. And today, that endowment fund is a $10 billion fund.
Wow. Okay.
So our state has a fund, $10 billion, it's for the benefit of education. And there are a dozen other states that have a fund like this. So Oregon is one of those states. Texas is another. And we invest our funds differently than every other state, and that's what we should talk about. But, Scott, I know you want to talk.
Well, no, it's not that I want to talk necessarily, but it makes me sad that the resources are there, the money is there, but for whatever the reason, there's the budget, for example, in 2026 is 770 pages. And if you drill down into that 770-page budget for $7.4 billion, there's a lot of interesting items in there, but we won't get into that in great detail. But it seems like the money's not being properly allocated for maintaining the properties, the buildings for the students. Infrastructure, i.e. computers, smart boards. The computer systems, for example, the laptops that are given to the high school students, leased to them effectively, to the high school students when they enter high school here, are antiquated and old, and they work, but they're kind of shaky and need to be upgraded. Well, the only way that we're going to get funds for that, because of the amount of money that's being allocated for the students, is an override, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But to talk to you about your passion and where you believe the money can be best spent, how do we get a position to where our students have a fair shake against the other states, for example?
Well, you know, before the show we were talking, and you noted that we are not—we are among the lowest funders of education.
Second or third lowest.
It depends on the year, 40 or 59. Sometimes 50th, sometimes dead last.
Last year was $5,113 per student allocated, which an average in the country is $11,000 or $12,000 per student.
Well, I don't know about that number. I think it's a little higher than that. But there's a bunch of things going into that. But here's what I wanted to talk about. So we've got this endowment fund. It's a $10 billion fund. We invest it differently than every other state.
And tell me about it.
If we invested like the other states do, and these are states like Texas and Wyoming and Utah, Oregon, New Mexico, we would have earned $200 million more last year alone. Over the last dozen years, our fund has grown from $5 billion to $10 billion. But if we did what the other states do,
what did they do differently?
It would be a $13 billion fund today. So we've lost out on $3 billion. And I'll tell you what they do differently. They allocate their investments differently than us. So you could think of it as we've got a fund that's primarily for education, so it's primarily for kids. and young adults, and we invest it as if it was a retirement fund. And the other states invest it more appropriately.
And well, tell me about what they do.
You know, there's essentially kind of two types of investments. There's lower return investments and higher return investments. We our investment policy requires us to invest no less than 40% in the lower return investments and no more than
60% in the legislature.
That is in the legislature, yes. And we invest no more than 60% in the higher return. And the other states, it depends. There's a dozen states, so it kind of depends on who you're talking to, but they're closer to 80-20.
Okay, so that being said, if they're investing on higher yields, that means higher risk as well. Okay, generally speaking, that's the way it goes. A bigger return gets a bigger risk. So with the burgeoning stock market like it's been and growth funds like through Magellan, Vanguard, all these different funds, I can see how lately, over the last few years, that their investments have been very, very good, okay, and their returns have been very good. Being more conservative, like my investments are pretty conservative, but realistically, I believe that our way is better because what happens if they get a crash?
Yeah.
And all their market's tied up into a spider fund in the stock market, for example, and the stock market goes down 25%. Well, they're going to lose 25%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think over the long term, there's, you know, and we're not just talking the last couple of years. We're talking with our fund the last dozen years. But if you go back, you know, if you're Warren Buffett, you're going to go back decades and decades.
Sure.
You know, it's better to be invested. You're going to earn more in the stock market than you are in bonds.
Correct.
That's over the long run. Any given year, what you're saying is absolutely correct. You could lose more or less.
I say no gamble.
You're a no gamble guy.
I'm a no gamble guy when it comes to our kids' futures.
Yeah.
You know, you take a general fund and do that. Okay, I get that. But when we get such a low amount of money going to the children to begin with, and then putting that amount in risk, I'm not into that.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Are education funds being invested wisely now by the treasurer's office?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think our allocation is not the correct way to do this. And if you look at Texas, they're not doing it the way we're doing it. If you look at Utah, they're not doing it the way they're doing it.
So you would do it differently.
I would do it like those states,
but
yes.
Isn't Treasurer Yee showing quite the surplus right now in funds?
It's been a good stock market. And the question is not whether we've made a good returns. It's whether we could have made more. That's the big difference.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
So, Melissa,
and if you look at conservative states, they're not doing what we're doing. You know, red states are not doing what we're doing.
So, Melissa, you have questions?
Yeah. Are you saying that this is not a red state?
No, no. I'm just saying
it's a question.
It's very purple. Yes.
Purple?
Yeah, I would say it leans red still. That's what I would say. But yes, it's purple. Yeah. Battleground state.
Well, think of it this way. We just had this discussion before the show. Maricopa County basically rules the roost. I mean, if Maricopa goes one direction, that's the way the state's generally going to go.
Well, Pima County doesn't do badly either.
No, but, you know, generally, right. I'm saying Maricopa is the bellwether for our state as far as voters are concerned.
So, speaking of our state, I asked, you know, who's doing the best? It's Massachusetts. Who's doing the worst? Arizona is at the bottom.
Well, that's what we just said. That's what we're saying.
D.C., though, isn't it?
It's 48th.
Yeah, I just
you're talking about the rankings, right?
I just asked which has the best education, and Massachusetts said the best, and Arizona is rated 48th.
I think this is what we were all talking about before the show. You know, we are ranked 48th or 49th or some years less, 50th.
New Mexico and Alaska are right there.
But you include Puerto Rico and some of the other territories,
but just
are actually ranked below 50th.
But understand this. It goes part and parcel, hand in hand with the amount of money being allocated per student.
$13,100. I looked that up too.
What?
How much per student?
For Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
That's what it's told me.
I believe it's around 5,000.
Yeah, I think it's closer to 10. But
10?
Whatever. It's very low compared
to
other states.
Well, anyways, we're going to wrap up this segment. We'll be back. Well, there you go. I was
13.1.
Wrong. Anyway, we'll be back here on Common Ground, 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Catch you in a minute.
Are you sticking around?
I'm sticking around.
Perfect. I want to talk about empowerment scholarship accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big big hot button right now.
Yeah.
So ESAs.
You can run with that.
Oh, okay. Here's a little Ramones.
Nice.
Rock and Roll High School.
All Very right. good.
We'll be back on Common Ground.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. You can call in at 928-854-KNTR or text in at 928-727-5566. Hey, Paul, what you got over there for us?
I've got some sponsors, and first off, Common Ground brought to you in part by Blonzy Steakhouse. Love those guys.
Love them.
Yes.
Mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking, whether it's date night or brunch with friends. Great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's, it's where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road, Desert Hills. You know, that burrito you brought me,
The bomblet burrito. Secret menu item.
Oh, my goodness. It's a chicken fried steak and eggs wrapped in a burrito. It's on my desk still, so I didn't think it was appropriate to bring it in here. Also by Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware is the small town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find out what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in the store today, just off of, I think it's Bowie Road in Golden Valley. Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's isn't just about great deals. It's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store. Thrifting with a purpose. And by Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than just a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes, celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks, one happy driver at a time. Off East Andy Devine in Kingman.
Awesome.
There you go.
Thank
Mr.
You.
Scotty.
Yes, well, hold on. I got to reintroduce our guest, Nick Mansour, here. And we were talking about some interesting things. And I think Paul has a subject that he wants to discuss with Nick.
Nick, but he wanted to touch on, you still wanted to go over some of the trust, right?
Well, there is one other thing we should talk about on the trust, too.
Yeah, right.
And I know you guys are familiar with this. So we talked about how it's invested. There's also a question about how much should be dispersed from the fund every year for our education. And so this is tax-free money. About 10 years ago, under Doug Ducey, under Governor Ducey, we passed an initiative that allowed us to disperse up to 6.9% from the fund every year for education. Last year, that accounted for nearly a $500 million worth of education.
That's huge.
Okay?
Wow.
$481 million, I think, is the exact number. That's nobody's paying anything. This just comes out of this $10 billion fund.
I'm going to kind of test your math skills.
Yeah.
If you want to use a calculator or have your assistant do that, that's fine. But we had a piece of property here. It's a pretty famous, locally famous case going through right now on the island. 90 acres of former golf course zone property at the Nautical that went for $24 million.
Okay.
So out of that $24 million, what would we expect to see go to education?
And so this was state land?
Yes, this was state land, and it recently sold, what was it, in May or June?
Not too long ago.
Yeah. Not too long ago.
So that 20,
8 months, 9
it's already
years.
Been rezoned.
That $24 million goes into the endowment fund.
Okay.
And
6.9.
Until July. And then in July, that number reverted back to 2.5%.
Ooh, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot. And that means a few $100 million every year that is not being spent on education.
Where does the rest go? General
stays
fund?
Stays in the pool.
It'll stay in the pool and it'll just keep growing.
Ah,
yes.
So what happens is, here's where the problem I have with that.
Yeah.
So when it reverts back to 2.5, that means that if there are capital investments that they're using on the fund itself, garners, let's say, a conservative 6 or 7% for the year.
Sure.
They're making a profit. They're making extra money going into the fund. What I believe they should do is, sounds like a crazy idea, every year they renegotiate based on the earnings of the fund to go to education. So the fund wouldn't shrink. Let's use a number of $100 million.
Yep.
I'm just using a round number. And they make 8%.
Right.
They should be able to allocate 8% after the fiscal year is over, and maintaining the level of the real investment, so it goes next year, that same investment earns 3%.
Yeah.
Then 3% goes to education.
Yeah.
Should be based on revenues generated by the increase in their investments of the fund.
Well, I think you'd want to at least take a discount from for inflation. Because you want this fund to not go down, right?
Something of that nature, though. It should be tied to the capital gains of the fund itself. That's
and that,
it,
that is kind of what we're doing, but it is capped at 2.5% every year, and it was 6.9%.
And 6.9 might be too much.
as long as there's some safeguard, I don't think you want to go too much higher, as long as there's some safeguards in place that keep the fund from going down over time. But the big thing is, right now it's 2.5%. The legislature and the governor are trying to figure this out. And frankly, I would hope this is someplace where they can have some common ground. And
is this not a bipartisan issue?
I think the parts of it are bipartisan. I think I believe this is true. Most of the Republicans believe that we should go back to something close to 6.9%. Governor Hobbs also wants it. She actually put some in her budget, I believe, going back to 6.9%. Where there are disagreements are additional things that are being added into this bill, such as the empowerment scholarship account.
Ah, good
there
segue.
You go.
Before we segue, Melissa, we haven't had a single listeners. We haven't had a single text or call from you guys.
Yeah, what's going on, you guys?
We're not saying the number enough.
Text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687. Curious on your thoughts, you guys. And I also think that, you know, one thing that's obvious common ground for everyone is we want our kids to be doing better.
Yeah.
We don't want them dropping out.
Yeah.
We want them to be able to be, you know, contributing members of society when they graduate high school. We want them to graduate high school.
Yes.
Our graduation rates aren't as bad as some, but we definitely need to go back.
We're literally, at the bottom of these things. School safety, we ranked in the bottom 10. Performance,
that's
49th and 50th.
I would think urban areas would bring down the school safety factor. Am I correct?
Oh, I don't know about the school safety factor.
But cities.
Yes.
I think what you're saying is common ground. We can all agree on. Our kids get one chance. We want the best education for them.
And
we're ranked 48th, 49th, or 50th.
Why are we so bad?
Hold on
a
second.
What's the problem?
We segued from something, and I want to run back to it because it ties into what you're talking about, which is the empowerment scholarship accounts.
Yes. Okay. And I have some questions for
you're a good referee, by the way.
I try my best.
So this is a partisan issue, for those of you who don't know what empowerment scholarship accounts are. It's about school choice. It's about giving the parents of a student a check to make up for tuition, right, at a school that they want their child to go to, and the state will pay for it if they qualify.
Correct.
The problem is there's loopholes here that they found that some of the money's not getting spent on education. It's getting spent on other things.
Yeah. Are you speaking higher education, like
no,
college?
No, I'm speaking K-12.
K-12.
Yeah. So how it started was during COVID. There was a latchkey kid homeschooling situation, and then there was the shuttling of students around. And the big nexus of this was in Washington, D.C., is where I believe where the big uproar was, because you had really great schools that other kids had no opportunity to go to. They didn't have the funds to go there, so they were stuck in schools that were, let's just say, less than favorable for their education. And so what these accounts are doing is it gives parents the right and the freedom to take their kids and say, I don't like Lake Havasu High School. I want to send them. I want to bring them over to HPA or something different.
Yeah.
Okay, gives them the choice, gives them the option.
Okay.
Here's what I wondering if we could find
on ESAs.
Here, I'm not a fan of waste. I am not a fan of waste.
Who is?
Okay. And on ESAs, yes. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's absolutely correct. When you homeschool your kid, the state will reimburse you up to $7,000 for educational.
Just homeschoolers, funds. Though?
Well, no. If you send your kids to private school,
okay.
The state will send $7,000 to the private school. But if you're homeschooling your kids, you can get reimbursed for educational expenses. Our taxpayer dollars,
which is being misused and abused,
have been. Yeah, it's gotcha. We've reimbursed for jewelry, kitchen appliances. We reimbursed $1 million on Legos. We reimbursed $1 million on trampoline park memberships.
Wow.
I'm not making this up. We have reimbursed people traveling to SeaWorld, and even in one case, at least one case, somebody got reimbursed for buying lingerie. That's waste. Okay, we need to get rid of that.
So, Nick, being that there is waste, do we throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, okay, we're not doing that anymore, or do we fix it?
We fix it.
Because I think it's working, but a lot of Democrats are saying no. Like Governor Hobbs is completely against ESAs.
Well, I don't think that's what's in her current package. In fact, I'm not here to speak for Governor Hobbs, but I think she's in favor of some changes, not elimination, but you should have her on the show and she can answer
Okay.
I do have a couple text messages in here. The first one says, I believe that lottery money goes to the universities. Why not use lottery money for K through 12?
Isn't that what it was intended for?
Originally, it was intended for all school levels, including higher education.
But now there are like 18 different things that lottery money goes to.
Each state has their own way of handling the funds and distribution, and it migrates and changes at the will of the electorate and the people and the government. So, for example, initially, I believe in the state of California, because that's where I was living at the time, I believe 6%, approximately, I could be wrong, this is 30, 40 years ago, went straight to education, and then it was divvied up accordingly. But now it's so political and the money is so huge that there's so much, let's just call it, I believe there's some shenanigans going on where money's been improperly allocated. Well,
let's get back to the text, because okay. Nick didn't get to answer the question.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so there was two. The first one was, I believe that lottery money goes to the universities. Why not use lottery money for K through 12?
Yep. I actually don't know the answer to that question. I did not know that lottery money went to universities, but I think that would be a discussion with the legislature and the governor. So, and probably not a bad idea. Look, if we can increase funding for education without raising taxes, why not? I mean, that is the main thing, one of the main things our state does. As we've talked about, we're ranked 48th, 49th, 50th. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that. So.
Yeah, I know that's a big thing in Oregon. We do have Oregon Lottery.
What's the other text?
Other text is directly towards you.
Yeah.
And it says, what does Nick recommend as far as the percentage which goes to education from land trust? So what percentage?
So the legislature last year was working on something that had 6.9%. That's where the governor's come out. And I think that's as much as you'd want to be. And I would want us to be up in that range, provided you have some safeguards that, in years that the fund doesn't perform well, that you're not drawing down on the fund over the long term. You want the fund to continue
That's
to
correct.
Grow over
it,
the long
but
term.
But it needs to be conservatively allocated to ensure the sanctity and the safety of the original pot, of the original pool. One of the things, though, that has really come to light here in Havasu over the last couple decades was overrides.
Yes.
Okay, so we're good? So overrides, for 7 years, I believe, before 2016, they unsuccessfully passed overrides. But we're going to talk about overrides, I guess, when we come back from break here on 106.75 and 3 Common Ground. Voice of what?
Voice of the free.
That's right.
Oh, I want to say that.
You want to say it? Say it.
Voice of the free.
Perfect.
Schoolgirl fantasy. She wants it so badly. Knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page.
Have you seen Junior's grades?
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. You can always tell when Paul is in the house. The
it's music. Mad. He's a madman.
All right, we got a few more sponsor reads there.
I like how you smiled on that one, though. That was good. And I played your request going into the
break. I know. I figured with the Epstein's files, don't stand so close to me was appropriate.
And thanks for listening to Common Ground, folks. Brought to you in part by Neat Pool and Supplies, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins. 52 Scott Drive. Also, I think this is a new sponsor. I may be wrong. Trailside Firearms and Trading Company.
Yeah, I know.
Very good. New sponsor. We love new sponsors.
I need to go meet them.
The next two are new, I believe. Trailside Firearms and Trading Company, the newest gun store to hit Main Street, Havasu, buy, sell, trade, new iron, old iron, full collections, no smoke, no games, just straight fair deals. And if you're looking for something special or hard to find, Trailside makes it happen. If you want it done right, This is the trail you take. Oh, interesting. Good copy, Ronnie. TrailsideFTC.com. That's TrailsideFTC.com. And the last is, but not least, Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue.
Stubby.
They're awesome.
Uh-huh.
Are they?
They really are.
Yeah. What's your favorite there?
I just buy a pound of the pulled pork and go home and make my own damn sandwich.
Oh, there you go. Where the barbecue is slow, the smoke is thick, and Hank the Tank, the propane pig, silently judges you while you eat. Wow. I don't know if I want that. Award-worthy barbecue, legendary flavor. And a mascot who's absolutely not impressed. The pig knows what you ordered. Behind the cigar bar corner of Scott Drive and Main Street is Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue. You guys know my pronouns, right?
Pronouns? Oh, yes.
He,
me,
hungry, him, something. And hungry.
Yes.
He, him, and hungry.
Yes.
You like that? I'm always hungry. So to say I'm hungry makes it a pronoun, right?
So we're back with Nick Mansour, continuing to discuss education. And we briefly talked about or mentioned the overrides.
Yes.
So in Havasu, we were running short. We needed smart boards, computers. The elementary school that my kids were going to, they didn't even have walkie-talkies. I'm not joking. They didn't have security cameras. These are essential needs. So we were trying to raise funds, with a group of parents involved, concerned parents, to do some of these things. But it was a endemic of the budgetary shortfalls they had. So in 2016, we finally convinced the voters to pass a limited override. It was about 20-something million dollars. It was supposed to be for maintenance and operations. And it was successful in the way that the needs of the schools were met in some ways, but it'll most likely never get passed again. Did I agree with it? Absolutely not. I believe that, like Mojave Valley, like you were talking about, if the school needed something, me, and I'm going to mention him on the air, Danny Bartlett and I and his family and our family, we went around and raised funds. We literally just grassroots it. We went to businesses, say, hey, we need this, we need that. We got donations, we got things done.
Yep.
And so it can be done on a very ad hoc local level. If there's singular needs for, but to repair, like we discussed before the show, what happens when the high school air conditioning systems fail?
Yeah.
They need to be replaced.
Yeah,
Band-Aids are not working.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, obviously, that's a real credit to you for doing that. And I was just in Apache Junction, and there was a retirement community there that had adopted a school, and they were doing bake sales and things like that. And that can fill only so much of the bucket.
It's a Band-Aid.
And at best, yeah. And we've got a lot of needs, right? And I just learned that the high school here has air conditioning issues.
And overall maintenance issues in all the schools.
And overall maintenance issues. And we're not paying our teachers enough. And so, we've got a funding issue here.
Line item
and
vetoes.
The override is a form of local control,
It's a bigger Band-Aid. Okay.
It could be a bigger Band-Aid, but it is a form of local control.
It lasts 7 years, and it tapers off towards the end, but the money is allocated specifically for the schools. The money is earmarked. It doesn't get drained elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay? But here's the thing. Everyone can agree, common ground, there's waste everywhere in the country, across the board.
It's been proven.
And so here's my thinking. There was a movie called Dave.
Yes.
Oh, right. It's a great movie.
I love them.
I love
Sigourney
that movie.
Weaver.
Kevin Kline.
So
yes.
here's
Charles Grodin plays the accountant.
And Ben Kingsley was the vice president.
Kingsley. Right. Yes.
So here's the deal. That movie illustrated one opportunity that the Speaker of the House, the pseudo president of the United States, got together in a room, went line item for line item on a budget, and eliminated waste, doubling of expenditures. Okay, I believe that our governor, and with the input of a treasurer, could go through the budget and find millions and millions of dollars that just doesn't need to be spent on what it's being allocated for. And so that money could be reallocated towards the schools.
Is it that easy, though, Nick?
Well, listen, I love the movie, first of all. Let me just say that. And I love the idea, and I agree with it 100%. And but I think to your question, I think the frustrating thing is
the Appropriations Committee is the one who spends the money, right?
This is an area where, our elected officials need to do a better job of working together to find solutions. So that's really what you're saying.
But who is going to stand up and say enough is enough and let's make some change. I mean, when is that going to happen?
What about a mandatory credit score at a certain level before you run for office? I'd like to know what some people, if they're financial, you know, if they're credit criminals, right, or if they're good, right, with their money.
That's a good, I think that's a good requirement. I've
thought of that 20 years ago. Know? I mean, that's common sense.
Well, if you are running for office, like some people we know.
Like I am, yes.
Right. If we know people are running for office, if you're part of the opposition and or concerned citizenry, you can do those background checks on your own.
Sure.
Okay, and you can find out what people have and what they've done.
Can you find their credit score? I don't know.
I don't think you find a credit score.
You have to know social.
If you were like a landlord, maybe.
But here's a good clue. If you go and do a background check and you find a lot of bad stuff, generally speaking, there's a good chance that their credit's not going to be
defaulted on student loans, maybe.
But anyway, back to the subject at hand. The overall thing is we want our kids, as Melissa was saying, we want what's best for our kids. She has grandkids.
Right.
Yeah.
In the schools here.
And we want our kids, in your case, your grandkids, to have the opportunities that I believe I had when I was growing up. I had a great opportunity. I had a good family, went to good schools, and I'm thankful for that. But I think overall right now, everything's too big. All the budgets, the infrastructure surrounding the use of money, it's just grown and ballooned to absurdity at this point.
Can't wrap our arms or heads around.
Right, and you have in the case of budgeting and treasury, you have so many different entities that have input into the budget, into spending. So as a treasurer, you would have lots of control. But realistically speaking, you have so many other entities that have their fingers in the pie.
It's like Lake Mead.
Yeah. Well, I think, look, we all want our kids to have a great education. We can't be ranked where we are and feel good about that. We want our state to grow and to continue to generate new jobs and good jobs, and an education is an important part of that. And, you know, as we said over and over again, we are, if not the lowest, we're at the bottom.
Well,
and we've got to address that.
And we're going
to
go.
And there's some ways to do it without raising.
We're going
to
talk about that after the break. Here, we're going on a break, or last break of the day, here in Common Ground 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the free.
And
the free.
And the free.
Sorry.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on KNTR 106.753, Voice of the Free. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or give us a call at 928-854-5687.
And we're back here live with Nick Mansour, and we're ready to wrap up our last segment. And it's been an interesting discussion because I'm a fiscal conservative, and our guest here is a independent Democrat or stone cold Democrat liberal. You tell me what your position is.
A pro growth, pro business Democrat.
Perfect.
And I want to say really quickly, I was just so excited that you let me say something that I said the home of the free and the free.
That's awesome.
And I blew the brakes.
So you're reiterating the free part. See,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Nick, you say pro business. What makes you pro business?
He's a business
guy. Well, I'm a business guy. You know, I was an entrepreneur for 27 years. You know, we need good jobs. That's the basis of how you address the affordability issues that we have going on. It's how people live the American dream. It's how they provide for a better future for their families.
Are these companies in Tucson then, or? You said you're from Tucson, right?
I grew up in Tucson. Uh-huh. My last 15 years, I've been living in Phoenix.
Actually. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So for me as a businessman as well, our guest is a businessman, and our co-host
entrepreneurs here.
Yeah. We're all business owners.
Yeah.
And what I think is throttling a lot of the business growth in the community is the affordability, is the fact that the interest rates are still a little bit higher than they need to be for loans, et cetera. But I think the biggest problem is there's fear.
Yeah.
I think there's just an inherent fear of uncertainty of the future. I don't think people want to plunk down $500,000 to, you know, be in business when they're not sure where the next couple of years are going to take them.
Especially post-COVID, in as a restaurant owner specifically, that was something that came out of nowhere. I never knew that the governor had enough power to take my business away.
Who did?
And I didn't see that one coming. You know who did? My insurance company. When I called Mutual of Unumqua and told them, you know, I'd like to file a claim, the governor shut down my business, they said, oh, there's a virus-exempt clause that we added in 2006.
So
interesting. So my insurance company saw a company.
So back to our topic. So yeah. As a Democrat, a pro-growth Democrat.
Yeah.
In reference specifically to education in the schools.
Yes.
Do you believe that we're on a positive trajectory, or neutral or negative trajectory, as far as budgetary shortfalls or increases in budgets? Where do you see us going forward? And then we'll talk about, you know, what you would do if you had an opportunity to make change.
Yeah,
where do you see our trajectory?
We're currently, you know, sort of just bumping along.
I think we're flat.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we're going anywhere.
And I think we agree we need to address that. And so I'm happy to tell you what I would do.
I want to hear it.
Yeah,
tell us what you would do.
It comes back to the endowment fund. We've got to invest it properly. I think we are not doing that today. It comes back to the rate of disbursement. We're at 2.5%. That's very, very low. We need to increase that. And we need to eliminate waste. And there's waste out there. So let's
common ground.
Oh, good. There we go.
So, you know, we've got a few minutes here. I just want to let you know that I think every one of our listeners, unless they never had kids and don't care about that, everyone wants the best for our children and our children's future. We need someone like an orchestra conductor that can go and look at our budget and look at our spending and find ways of streamlining it, making it more effective for the students and for the teachers as well. Unmotivated teachers for lack of pay or lack of facilities or lack of infrastructure means that our students are getting less of an education because of the stress in the teachers.
Right.
You know, if teachers aren't happy, the kids aren't going to be happy.
Right.
You know, it's just the bottom line.
Scott, if we took the first two issues that I just laid out, investing it properly and increasing the disbursement. There's been a discussion in our state legislature about getting teachers a $4,000 per year increase. And if we took those first two steps, we could do that for 50,000 teachers without anybody paying anything more in taxes. We should do that.
Well, sure. Or you can also look at bonuses. You know, teachers who show up for work every day, teachers who have performance of their students, you know, performance. You know, it'd be something to think about.
Like,
you know,
test scores and grades?
Something the listeners on Speak Out have probably heard me preach 100 million times. Yeah, 15 counties.
Yes.
You have a state superintendent of public instruction. You have each county has a superintendent of public instruction. Each district has a superintendent.
Yeah.
Are we a little top-heavy here?
Yeah. I mean, I think we have something. I've heard something like 300 and some districts. So.
But that money isn't getting to the schools or the students. They're getting to big salaries.
Yeah, to their $100,000 salaries.
Mm.
Well, there you go. And so we have a little bit of time just to go over. We've got about a minute left. I just hope that we can affect some positive change in our schools. I'd love to have you back on the air again.
Please.
You're a good guest. And
thank you.
I would support you coming back anytime. But the common ground we found today is that we want the best for our kids. We want the budget to be a good budget. We want allocation to be properly applied.
Yeah.
And we need more money for the teachers and the schools.
We do.
Fair enough?
We do.
Well, we're going to catch you next week on Tuesday at Fabulous Common Ground at 10 a.m., 106.7, 5 and 3.
You know that song?
Voice of the Free.
Animal House.
Voice of the Free.
Yes.
And it's great to be here. I really appreciate it. Would love to come back on and just... remember to vote in November.
That's right. We all need to vote because we get what we
Your
pay for.
Your vote matters.
It does.
But, you know, the important thing about voting, though, is people have to be concerned and motivated to vote.
Right.
It seems like there's a lack of motivation. So let's get out there, everybody, and vote.
Talk about that next time.
You bet.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The Voice of the Free.